AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is suspending his independent presidential campaign, and he's backing Donald Trump. His sister Carrie says their father would not have approved.
Were he alive today, I think the real Robert Kennedy would have detested almost everything Donald Trump represents.
RFK Jr. is expected to be the special guest. The former president says will join him on stage tonight in Arizona. Fed Chair Jerome Powell says the time's come to cut interest rates. He isn't saying by how much, but it could happen as soon as the central bank's next meeting in September. Three security guards who held a man to the floor at a Detroit area mall in 2014 have been acquitted of involuntary manslaughter. Initially, prosecutors said Mackenzie Cochran died as a result of excessive force and gross negligence. Officers say the black man was combated as they tried to handcuff him. Police in Solingen, Germany say at least three people are dead after a knife attack at a festival. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell in Chicago. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Democratic National Convention is over. Now, what's next?
The next thing that happens is that moments from this convention turn into viral videos, turn into ads that are run on TV. People will be reminded of the highs of this convention all the way through the time the polls close.
Wisconsin Democratic Chair Ben Wickler says the hard work of knocking on doors and getting out the vote ramps up in earnest. Four hotel security guards charged with killing a man in downtown Milwaukee this summer are pleading not guilty. Todd Erickson, Brandon Turner, Herbert Williamson, and Devin Johnson Carson were in court yesterday. They face felony murder charges in the death of Devontae Mitchell. Prosecutors say they held Mitchell down and suffocated him. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. The Universities of Wisconsin Board of Regents has agreed to ask Governor Tony Evers for over $850 million more in the next state budget. According to an Associated Press report, the UW system's current budget is just under $8 billion, and if approved, the increase would be a nearly 11% raise. Officials say the extra funding would allow the university system to give an 8% raise for faculty and staff, expand a tuition coverage program for low-income students, and keep two-year campuses open. The president of Lake Superior College has announced her planned retirement at the end of the upcoming school year. According to a Northern News Now report, Dr. Patricia Rogers will leave the school at the end of June this spring after serving as president for the past 5 years. School officials say they will meet with students, faculty, and staff to determine what their priorities are going forward before they begin their search for the next president. They hope to name Dr. Rogers' replacement sometime early next spring. And that's what you need to know. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
The Packers break camp. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers had their final training camp practice in a joint session with the Baltimore Ravens. Jordan Love made some nice completions, but was also intercepted.
They're a really good defense. I mean, I think they ended the last year one of the best in the league. So they're really good, and it's a great test for us on offense. And obviously, I mean, I think after last week at Denver practice, you know, it wasn't our best performance. So we definitely wanted to bounce back. And I think, you know, we did a good job of doing that.
The two teams face each other tomorrow at noon for their final preseason game at Lambeau Field. Baseball tonight, the Brewers in Oakland to face the A's. The Crew losing to the Cardinals yesterday, 3-0 in St. Louis. Pat Murphy asked why he pulled Freddy Peralta after five scoreless innings pitched.
He threw a good breaking ball. He just missed with it a lot. I thought he was good. Five innings of shutout. Only two hits, I think, and you can say what you want. The pitch count got up there, and I'm not interested in him keep going 100-plus when, you know, he's got a lot of big starts left.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, mostly clear, a low in the upper 50s. Mostly sunny, warmer, and more humid tomorrow, high in the low 80s. Slight storm chance Saturday night. Sunny, hot, and humid Sunday, a high in the mid 80s. Hot and humid again on Monday, storms Monday night. It's 71 right now.
Earl Ingram.
Mayor Brian Kennedy of Glendale.
I've heard Republicans say this is a coup. Nobody voted for Kamala Harris. Yeah, when I voted for Joe Biden in the primaries, I was voting for Kamala Harris to be his vice presidential running mate. In this case, Joe Biden stepped aside. We nominated Kamala Harris.
I think it's a little bit like the Dodgers complaining that the Braves starting pitcher who injured his shoulder yesterday isn't starting today.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. The Todd Alba Show.
Trigvi Olsen, senior advisor to the Lincoln Project. They put out fake AI photos of
Taylor Swift saying that she endorsed him.
Right. And Trump retweeted that. And of course, all of that is untrue.
Don't mess with the Swifties. Exactly. You'll have my daughters showing up.
I mean, it's a whole new level of Swift boating.
Trump and Las Vegas might get Swift boated. All right. Taylor Swift boated.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody, Todd Alba. Join us next time as we are back in Wisconsin after covering the DNC. We'll look back at the news of the weekend and get you ready for the last week in August. Badger football coming up.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
We are back. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education, TGI, BPF. Thank God it's Busted Pencils Friday. And man, Johnny, Jess,
what a week.
Great to see you guys. We have had some time off, you know. And Johnny saying a little with the Democratic National Convention, civic media. Whoa, talk about incredible, amazing coverage for that week. And say, you know, people are like, where was Busted Pencils? Hey, you know what? Civic media made that commitment to covering the DNC. And so that's where we were this week. But I mean, incredible, incredible coverage. And as Johnny pointed out, though, you know, really made for some late nights this week, typically a lot later staying up than I normally do.
East Coast time. I mean, over here on the West Coast time that I'm on, you know, Pacific time zone that I'm in, I'm so spoiled usually. Sporting events, Monday night football's done at an appropriate bedtime. For most of my teaching career, that's not how Mondays and Tuesdays went for work. But, you know, I'm spoiled here with the three-hour delay, right? That I kind of, the stuff happens on the West Coast before it happens here. It's earlier. So, I mean, I was up extraordinarily late every night this week, so I'm a little tired. First week back in the classroom. Hey, Sherry said, good evening, Sherry. We missed you this week, but probably know that you were tuned in and following the Democratic National Convention, because we were as well. So lots to catch up on. But, Tim, it's Friday, TGIBPF.
There you go.
Love that. Love it. Nailed it. Right? But, I mean, I'm tired. Thoughtful week.
Well, wait a minute, though. Let's talk about East Coast time versus, though. I mean, I've had the last three nights up way beyond midnight, man. I know, you know, because
then, I mean, if you know, if we're going to start doing this comparison, this contest here, but I'm not sure that you had those long teaching days this week. Maybe you had some long days.
Oh, well, okay. If we're going to go there now, too, we're going to add to that. No,
I mean, I had to trans. It's an abrupt shift from summer schedule to like fall. Now we're teaching all day again. It's like, where's my sleeping time? It's gone.
Well, if you appreciate sleeping time, though, yeah, it's Busted Pencils. Hey, you know what? But not on this Friday night. No sleeping tonight during the show. It's fully leaded education talk. Putting out the number 2-855-752-4842. Hey, any thoughts out there about the DNC? We are open to hear them out there. Whatever you want to call and talk about. What did you think? What was the most awesome moment of the DNC this week? Give us a call, 855-752-4842. What was the worst moment? Were there any moments where you went, I'm not sure they should have done?
I definitely have a top
production moments.
Yeah, there was. I mean, the fact that, and I'll be honest, I mean, I'm a junkie for some pop culture. Yeah. Right. And so, I mean, there was a lot of really exciting energy and tangent stories to the DNC this week. But I was one of those people who fell for the special guest. So that's my little.
I was like,
oh my God, who is it going to be? Oh my God. And I was like, I actually got to go to bed. I know I can watch these recordings tomorrow when I get up real early and I put them in my, on my drive to work. I can listen to them. I was like, I'll get the content. But I was like, but I'm going to miss the special guest. I was good with that. So I fell for it. Not really sure who the special guest was.
Were you still thinking and imagining that, you know, maybe after Kamala is when it's going to happen? I know a couple people go, they're like, wait, it's really over. No one showed up. I don't know.
I was 100% pulling for it to be like Beyonce or Taylor Swift or something mega pop. Like, just like, it's over. Lay it down. We now have like
other night went so long. And then last night they're like, no, on time. We're done. Go home. Yeah. Go sleep.
Well, and you know what? So speculation on that today. I don't know if you guys heard this, but it was, you know, out there, conspiracy theory. Was this all drummed up to get people to pay attention and stay connected to their TV longer? Well, if so, maybe it worked. I don't know
maybe
that we'll
worked.
Ever figure. Maybe it worked. I tell you what, though, Little John, though, I was excited about Little John. To me, that I love him coming in with that, you know, and the comparisons that I don't know if you guys saw the Daily Show comparison of the reading of the votes counted between the Republican Party and it was like in Maine we've had 220 votes for Mr. Trump. And they cut to the DNC. Little John coming down the steps.
And it's a full party. They had, all of the songs. It was so fun.
Yeah, it was. So it was exciting. So lots of catch up on. So our recap of the week, usually on, Busted Pencils Friday, we're recapping the week of exciting guests. So we'll be talking DNC. We also, Tim, you can't forget my favorite thing about Fridays. I got a lot of favorite thing about Fridays. You know, end of the week. It's almost the weekend. Football's just around the corner. I'm a big hockey guy, big hockey fan, but I also love my fall football. So we'll get to that because fall football's also, for the first time in a lot of years, part of the election lead up and talk. Tim, it's also Tim's trivia.
Oh,
Tim's trivia. Man, I wake up on Fridays and I'm like, Tim's trivia is coming up tonight. I can't wait.
Wow, I appreciate
it. It's like a new form of dad jokes for me. Tim's trivia is the most frustrating but exciting thing of my Friday because I'm always like, wait, that's not trivia. What is this?
Of Oppenheimer was lost in Georgia. Hey.
Well, I'm tell you what, we're going to make it a little bit more of a shift too, because I heard, especially when Luke was stepping in last
time. Luke was like,
He's like, nah, man. He's like, dude, that doesn't work. So look, hey, the question though this week, very much in line with the DNC fact. You know what?
Okay.
Put it out there right now, right? So
themed Tim's trivia. That's not Pennsylvania.
Yeah, a little. Nope. Just a connection here. So we saw historic, and again, not the first woman to accept a nomination to become president. Okay, because actually that was already done. But who was the first woman to run for president of the United States? And in what year was it when this woman ran for president?
This is the most straightforward.
Yes, correct. We need Tim to stay up late watching Democratic, speeches every week. That was great. First woman to run for president in the United States in the year.
All right, the year.
Well, give me a call once you know it. 855-752-4842.
This is an exciting one. Yeah.
Yeah. This is, because it fits perfectly here. And so much going on. Johnny, you talked about, but you also talked about Friday Night Football as you're saying it's coming up here in the fall. And you say, with Coach Walls.
Fall weekends.
My
fall stuff starts Thursday and it ends Tuesday morning when I'm listening to the recap. of all the injuries and all the things that happened. I love.
Oh, okay. No, I'm more looking at this, and I got really pumped up during the DNC because, again, of Coach Walls and talking about, and I saw another article coming out of Texas this week that really laid out the fact of saying that Friday Night Football and Walls being the vice presidential candidate, there could be a real connection to pointing out that the voucher people in Texas who are really targeting rural Texas, where Friday Night Lights truly has its origin, Friday Night Football. Is this
great show, by the way?
Great. You know, but to really come at this and say, look, we have the opportunity here now to really talk about the significance of Friday Night Football in public schools and what's at stake here. Sorry, that's what we do here on Busted Pencils. We advocate for public education, democracy. And on this one, coming into the fall, Friday Night Football, always talking about the other thing I loved about the DNC, man, Tim Walz dropping a lot of references towards my neighbor.
Yeah.
And football, your neighbor teaching. I mean, there's a lot we got in common with this guy. So it's no surprise to our listeners why we would love Tim Walz. And actually, we're both just ecstatic. And I know Jess is too, for the Kamala Harris, Tim Walz ticket, the energy coming from the Democratic Party. You know, it's a different tone. It's of joy. It's of change. It's of getting things done. And having a record of getting things done, not just talking the talk, but walking the walk day in and day out. So we're pumped. It's Friday. We're chopping it up. Don't forget, listener, this is Busted Pencils, Fully Leaded Education Talk. And you can give us a call, 855-752-4842. Text or call in if you want to talk. Or if you know the answer to Tim's trivia, who was the first woman to run for president in the United States in what year?
But yeah, right?
What was the year? So we're waiting for those calls or texts in. But whew, Tim, man, what a Friday!
What a Friday! It's exciting to come. I say, you know, what a week. I'm looking at this, and I don't know between you two, Jess and Johnny, but I'm feeling like the more I've been paying attention to this race, and again, when I say paying attention, I'm also paying attention to that other guy. You know, the TFG. Yeah. And I'm telling you what, I think he's out of it. I think he's done. I think he's in this position.
Oh, you can't say that in
office. I don't know. I'm feeling like a blowout's coming. That's what I'm saying.
Do you have a television?
I have a television, dude. But I'm
tuned into the other reality. Remember, we had a great extended podcast with one of our favorite guests. You know, we'll get you snippets of it and we'll have a link to it and more information. But Jonathan Gerko and Tim and I sat down this week for a couple of hours, talked politics, talked school, you know, charter school movements, and talked also higher education, quality teaching. But Tim, like, to continue our conversation from things with Jonathan, right? I mean, like, I called it an alternate reality, you know, and then we started talking about the other worlds of misinformation and facts and swarms. I'm just saying, Tim, turn your TV on and tune to a different channel.
Dude, I'm telling you what.
Who exactly is not out of it?
I'm a regular on that stuff. And in fact, I started doing that in the early 90s when I was commuting back to get my master's and doctorate degree. I listened to all of conservative talk radio. I don't know. I'm just saying that guy is just got something kind of, he's a little bit uptight. It's Busted Pencils. It's fully led.
He's been rattled.
Education talk. It's educated educators talking education. 855-752-4842. First woman to be president of the United States in what year? Give us a call.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Native American issues are human issues. Join Robert Pilot with Native Roots for their program Awake at their new time of Monday through Friday at 9 p.m. Awake is proudly sponsored by Wisconsin Community Health Representatives.
CapTime's Idea Fest is back for a week of powerhouse speakers and sessions exploring important local and national topics. September 15th through the 21st in Madison. This year's guest speakers include Speaker Emerita Nancy Pelosi, former Member of Congress Liz Cheney, Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson, and historian Heather Cox Richardson, along with many others. Idea Fest brings together changemakers to discuss Wisconsin's triumphs and failures to help reach a better state. Purchase your tickets today at CapTimesIdeaFest.com to join this premier thought festival.
Looking for a roundup of the day's important headlines in quick podcast format? Search no more. Find it now on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com. Your news just for the Superior area. I'm James Kelly with WBZH News.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
There it is. Busted Pencils Friday, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. 855-752-4842, TGIBBF. Thank God it's Busted Pencils Friday. Remembering talking about the DNC, what was your favorite moment of the Democratic National Convention in Chicago? You can call us 855-752-4842. Love to hear from you, Johnny, Jess, Tim. We all have our own moments. Johnny?
We sure do. And we had a theme from last week, 20 lessons from the 20th century from Timothy Snyder on tyranny, right? Mm-hmm. And we are really learning a lot. Like, that's been such an influential short book, pamphlet, document, writing, lesson from Timothy Snyder. You know, about lessons we can learn from threats to democracy, really, when he's talking about the rise in the frequency which in the beginning of this century we're seeing fascist governments and, you know, a loss of democracy, which you'd think, it, you know, democracy around the world should be on the increase. And so, you know, these are lessons so that history doesn't repeat itself, and so that we learn. Timothy Snyder shares these 20 lessons from the 20th century, and each week we highlight one. Well, and we announce it on Friday. So last Friday, we were talking about 20 lessons from the 20th century to be investigate, because civic media was going on the ground to the DNC live. We are saying, folks, there's a big buzz. There's a lot of energy. There's a lot of joy. There's a lot of excitement. And you know what's really cool about that is that that's an invitation to figure things out, to be present for information, to spend more time with long articles, you know, subsidize journalism, read, subscribe, listen, talk to your neighbors. Tim Walz talked about talking to your neighbors, but then chop it up and talk about it with your friends. And that's what we do here on Busted Pencils. Tim, Jess, you know, we're investigating together all week. We were listening and investigating, our listeners were. So let's chop it up. Let's talk about some of our moments, some of those highlights from the week.
Okay, why don't we start then? You know, quick first favorite moment that you can identify, and I'm gonna point and throw the ball to Jess.
Sure. Okay. Oh boy. I really loved some of the things that Barack Obama had to say about democracy and about what it means to sort of live in this experimental for our world type of government, that we are, this is the biggest and most diverse democracy that has ever been attempted. And that in order for that to work, we need to be able to listen to each other. And there was just this clip that was so beautiful. I'd like to play it.
Yeah, and just do it.
Play it.
Get your reactions to this one.
We live in a time of such confusion and rancor, with a culture that puts a premium on things that don't last. Money, fame, status, likes. We chase the approval of strangers on our phones. We build all manner of walls and fences around ourselves, and then we wonder why we feel so alone. We don't trust each other as much because we don't take the time to know each other. And in that space between us, politicians and algorithms teach us to caricature each other and troll each other and fear each other.
Mm. Yeah.
Facts. What do the kids say? Facts.
All right, Johnny, your favorite.
First reactions, Tim. I mean, this week I it was like for some of us, I mean, it was a walk down, you know, Democratic leader speaking to us. I'm going to admit I missed hearing Bill Clinton speak. I loved his talk. I absolutely didn't. I mean, I knew because I've seen him on talk shows and I've always liked listening him back when he had podcasts and everything. I loved Obama's podcast and his rise to presidency. Just loved hearing his voice. So hearing these speeches this week were nostalgic. They were energizing, but they were lessons, like Jess is saying. And that was a big one. And I mean, thanks for replaying it, because that even just hearing it was that same nostalgia and that excitement I felt when I watched it this week.
Hmm. I got truly, and I said this, favorite moment was the reading of the vote counts, that whole episode with the music. little John. I mean, it was a favorite. I just loved that. But I guess it won't be of any surprise, though. My absolute high point of this was Tim Walz's acceptance speech. It was just, for me, man, you know, and people were going to say, it's like, Tim, you like Tim because of the Tim. I'm like, no, I like him because, you know what? Yeah, I think he truly has an real opportunity to put forward a totally different vision of public education that Democrats might have the ability to get their soul back on this one if they can follow Walz's lead on this, because the Democrats have sold their soul on public education for the last 40 years. And this is an opportunity. I'm not saying they will. So, but I feel it there, Johnny. I see the doubt. I see your doubt.
Excitement. I mean, I'm just like, okay, let's wait and see. But that shouldn't detract getting into the weeds on whether or not educational issues are going to be a major platform for this election. We'll get into talking about that, but really, I can't imagine, I can't imagine a world where, again, we're going to contrast tickets, where there's any consideration for anything other than Harris Walz on this. There's no comparison, especially when we talk about education. You know, there's one full side that wants it, the other full side that wants to see it done away with.
Right.
And it's rarely in an election that you'll hear me talk about an either or, but in this, it really is that. And so, you know, I also am not surprised that your favorite moment was that you're talking about. I'll share mine. I don't know if we have clips from it, but it absolutely. I mean, I loved so many of the speeches, but the Michelle Obama talk got to be up there on tops. I mean, especially then you see a lot of comparison and everyone cued in. There was an electric moment.
Yeah.
You know, when her facial expression spoke louder than her words. Right. And so, you know what I'm referring to? Jess probably remembers that moment too. It's like decades back, we heard about we go high. When they go low, we go high. And then we revisited that slightly with a perfectly timed and placed side eye. And I was like, oh, this couldn't be better. I was like, I'm glad I stayed up and watched it versus listened to it on my morning commute. So that was one of my top moments.
Her side eye and then Obama's, and for anybody watching on the stream right now, Obama's comment to the size thing going on there. What size was he referring to? Oh, you know, all that stuff. Hey, just before though, coming up, you know, nobody's called in for the trivia. Who was the first woman to run, Johnny, for president of the United States, and in what year? First woman to run for president of the United States, and in what year? It's Busted Pencils. It's Fully Leaded Education Talk. It's TGIBPF. Thank God it's Busted Pencils Friday. 855-752-4842. We're going to be waiting for you. Welcome to the breakdown. Welcome to the end of the road. This is a breakdown. We've got nowhere else to go. Welcome to the breakdown. Welcome to the end of the road. This is a breakdown. We've got nowhere else to go.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell in Chicago. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson's Democratic National Convention speech this week is stoking speculation about a job for him in a Kamala Harris administration.
I hear that from everybody else except for the Harris folks, so.
Johnson has been Milwaukee's mayor since 2021.
I'm very happy as mayor of our city. I think there's plenty of opportunity in Milwaukee and in Wisconsin.
On stage at the DNC, Johnson talked about how the bipartisan infrastructure law is revitalizing Black neighborhoods. A labor dispute in Canada is stopping railroads that serve Wisconsin. The Canadian National and Canadian Pacific Kansas City Southern Railroads are locking out workers this week. The railroads carry agricultural, manufacturing, and industrial freight. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. The city of Duluth is looking for community input on an initiative to increase sports tourism. According to a Northern News Now report, the city will host three open houses next week to give residents a chance to weigh in on the Athletic Venues Reinvestment Initiative. The initiative seeks to guide over $30 million of investment into spaces that bring regional sports tourism, including improvements to existing spaces and the creation of new ones. The open houses will be held Tuesday and Wednesday at varying locations. University of Minnesota Duluth officials are sharing an update on the renovation project of their main production kitchen. According to a Fox 21 report, the remodel is still right on schedule and should not have an effect on students. The university is working out of professional food trailers to meet the dining needs of students while the renovations are underway. Kitchen staff are also using the remodel as an opportunity to experiment with some edits to their recipes. University officials expect the kitchen should be completed by early 2025. And that's what you need to know. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Conan O'Brien as a sex worker? Who hasn't pictured that? On his Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend podcast, the former talk show host sat down with actor Walton Goggins, who stars in the new season of White Lotus. During their conversation, Conan said that last year while in Bangkok, he ran into White Lotus creator Mike White and pitched himself as a gigolo in the show's new season. Goggins said he could see O'Brien playing a gigolo and actually being a gigolo in real life, all while keeping a straight face. Good actor. The third season of White Lotus premieres on Max in 2025. Well, it's happened. After months of denying their marriage was in trouble and moving out of their $60 million crib, it's official. Jennifer Lopez has filed for divorce from husband Ben Affleck 2 years to the day after their big wedding celebration in 2022. Now she's Jenny from a different block. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, mostly clear, a low in the upper 50s. Mostly sunny, warmer and more humid tomorrow, high in the low 80s. Slight storm chance Saturday night. Sunny, hot and humid Sunday, a high in the mid 80s. Hot and humid again on Monday, storms Monday night. It's 71 right now.
Earl Ingram.
Let's go to Lynn from Oconomowoc.
I met Kamala and she's super intelligent. She will select people who are competent in their field.
So Sandy, you don't hear those words when it comes to the other guy.
Well, he's going to select loyal people. Project 2025 seems to diminish the notion that there needs to be competence in government.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Gwyneth Paltrow, she has a company called Goop. You remember that project she sold? She found a way to bottle her the scent of her
privates. Oh, that's right. Yeah. Yep.
That's a little pretentious. That's the last thing I would want to inflict on the population. Hey, everybody. Here's Pete's crotch. Line up. You can get it fresh here at the farmer's market, or you can buy it in aisle 4.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pat Kreitlow.
Monday morning on Up North News Radio. The presidential race is now set and underway for the kind of 10-week ride we sure weren't expecting a month ago.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
Bust the pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education, TGIBPF, thank God it's Busted Pencils Friday. Tim's trivia, I'm going to read it one more time, but we got a caller on the line with a potential question. Who was the first woman to run for president of the United States and in what year? Jess, you say we got Mary from Wauwatosa. Mary? You're up. Who was it and what was the year?
Good evening and thanks for taking my call. Might that have been Victoria Woodhull in 1872?
Ding, ding, ding. We need a prize.
Slam dunk.
To get that.
Oh, my God, Mary. So, yeah, Victoria Woodhull, a name that is often forgotten in history, was a woman ahead of her time. In 1872, she became the first woman to run for president of the United States, and she represented the Equal Rights Party. She was a radical activist advocating for women's suffrage, labor reforms, and even, guys, free love, a concept that shocked the Victorian sensibilities of the time. Her campaign was more of a symbolic gesture, as women couldn't even vote yet, but it paved the way for future generations of women in politics. Woodhull's audacity to run for the highest office was a bold statement in that male-dominated world. Mary, oh my. This was just, you know, just information you have in at the tip of your tongue?
No, actually, my source is a co-pilot. I've been playing around with AI, so it was very helpful here.
Oh, nice.
I've often wanted to call and express my high regard for educators, and this seems like a prime opportunity. As a parent and grandparent, I've often believed that our children's teachers are like second parents, given your dedication to them. And so thank you.
Thank you, Mary. Thank you so much.
Mary,
for that.
Stay on the line. I'll get your information so you can get some Busted Pencil swag.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Mary. Well, there you go, Johnny. So, hey, again, Tim's trivia, much more trivia based. You guys are not going to give me a hard time. Thank you.
No, that was great. That was a good one.
It's a good one. And you know what, though? Again, I put it together because I thought for sure it had to go. It goes very nice. You know, Kamala Harris doing the acceptance speech last night. As you're saying, and as I'm thinking too, I actually think it's going to be a blowout. We are going to have the first female president in this year, and it's going to be a blowout. And so,
but here's the thing, Tim, and I like this, and I know you're going to love this too. You know, Tim Walz, I think, is a metaphor for us football folks. It's dead on. And I know that sports metaphors, they fall flat with a lot of folks who might be our listeners too, but Tim, you know, he said, right? It's the fourth quarter.
Yes, he did.
We're down a field goal, but we have the ball and we've got the team to get the job done. I love that. I mean, that is exactly where this is.
Yeah.
Because the game is far from over, as we know. Until it is done, it's not a sure shot.
No.
I mean, I know we feel that energy and we're like, how can you not? All you need, you got the ball, you got the team, you just got to get down there. But I do think this one is going to be like a tying field goal and then a big defensive stop, maybe even a pick, right? A stop, and then another play. And then it is going to come down to the election by the minutes. I wish it was a blowout, but I think it's actually a lot closer. And maybe this is my like recent election PTSD. Here knows the last few rounds we've been through a presidential election, it's been pretty, pretty much like, hey, this ought to be a no-brainer. And then, whoop. So never underestimate your opponent. Play your game. And I love what Tim Wall said. We have the team to get the job done. So let's carry out the game script and let's finish this game. But it's going to be a close one to me, Tim. I think it's going
to
be.
Jess, did you hear that quote Johnny was referring to? Do we have that one, the fourth quarter?
Let me finish with this team. Coach, coach, coach.
It's the fourth quarter. We're down a field goal, but we're on offense and we've got the ball. We're driving down the field.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's right. So
okay. Okay. So Johnny, yeah. You know,
he didn't say we're up three touchdowns.
I know.
Listen to coach.
We're down a field goal, but only a field goal.
I don't know. I'm just feeling it. That's what I'm saying. And I'm going to hold on to that because, as you say, that PTSD of these last elections, I am so tired of really biting my nails and being like, OMG, could this really happen again? I need some just absolute pure joy that I'm riding on. I just want to keep riding that for the next 4 months for the election.
So that's what I think it is that energy, is that the American voters are the 12th man, right? So you got 11 people on the field. They're getting the ball down there to get not that tying field goal, but get that touchdown that puts the election in the win, if we're going to stick with that metaphor, Tim. So we could be that 12th man cheering them on and doing our duty when it comes down to it. Support the ticket, you know, move into supporting the election, doing our civic duty, and beyond just the theme this week of investigating, but getting out to vote and getting other people out to vote. So, wow, you know what that bell means? So many things on a Friday. So, wow. Democracy in action. Every day here on Busted Pencils, we have a Democracy in Action Award. You know what? I'm going to put it out there too. Today's Democracy in Action, I'm going to pivot because no idea we were going to go down this football route, but it's to everyone out there who is supporting democracy. I called it the 12th man, referring to Tim Walz. You know, they have the ball. We have the ball, and we're down a field goal. We got to go down and win the game. We got the team to do it. But the team can't do it without the people supporting it. And that's what we mean by 12th man. For folks who aren't football folks, you have 11 people on the field, and the 12th man is referred to in that sport as the fans, as the energy, as the support. So it's all those
something.
Yeah, all those 12th man people out there who are, whether it's high school football and you're gearing up for Friday night football, like Tim has talked about, is, you know, a stalwart of public education in this country. You're a college football fan, you're gearing up to, which seems to be more than just Saturdays these days, but also big aspect of education and public education in this country. You know, you're a fan of that. You're a supporter. You're also a supporter of public education. You're the 12th man. And in this election, Tim Walz, man, this is the first time I can remember a heavy sports metaphor being part of an election in my lifetime, right? Yeah. I'm sure there's been in the past, but I'm excited about it because I love sports. And I think even if you don't love sports, you get the energy, you get the excitement. We have a lot of good stuff to be cheering for. So the democracy in action, right, is that civic duty, is doing your civic duty by supporting democracy. And in this case, having a little fun spin on it, supporting us as neighbors, coming together to share joy, to protect and invest in the things that we really value, like football. It's not just about football, because it might be also, you know, theater. It may be also our farmers markets. It may be also, you know, the county fair, the things that we do. Might be a fireworks display that downtown puts on, and those become the exciting things that we together as a community value, because they're about connection, right? And so we're cheering for those things. But hey, 12th man out there, we're doing more than cheering, right, Tim? We're talking about it. We're investigating. We're voting. We're getting our neighbors out to vote. We're having those conversations, because I feel it. I think we could say safely, whatever or however you've identified in the past, whatever your vote's going to be this fall, Americans have reclaimed that this is a democracy, and they got something to say about who they want to lead it.
They've reclaimed it. And the other thing, man, yeah, talk about that one. The 1-2. Johnny, I'm going to take credit for this Busted Pencils, because we have said this, I don't know how many times, and it was absolutely clear and evident at the DNC. We had talked about the reality is that this Democratic Party needs to take back the word freedom from the Republicans. We have said it on this show so many times. I'm not saying, you know, I'm just putting it out there, but we've talked about this. In fact, when they were banning books, when they were doing all this, we're like, Democrats, all you got to do is step up and say, we're the true party of freedom. Man, it came across this week. It came across in a way where maybe that's where my excitement is, because I feel like the language now has been recaptured, and the freedom and the pride and the patriotism and the absolute shallowness of the other side. And I'm going to point this out, but the whole fact, when you saw Waltz's speech and they put the camera to his family, and his son Gus had that, you know, that's my dad, and the tears flowing down his face, that pride, and the fact that the right hit on that and tried to turn that into something, it ain't working, man, because the reality, that was love. That was love right there, truly love, and that was energy that came across. The fact that the Republican Party thought that trying to take apart a 17-year-old for being proud of his dad was going to be something this is what I mean. They have stooped down to lower and lower and lower. This is now, the Democrats are the party of freedom, inclusion, democracy. The Republicans are the party of insults, beating up on kids, making fun of you, man. It was a horrible thing. I don't know. There's a whole lot. I don't know.
And Tim, you gotta send me that stuff, because I didn't catch that and I didn't have that.
It was ugly.
Oh yeah.
Well, and but here's the thing. This is one of the things I'll push against a little bit, Tim. I don't think you can have one party for freedom. That's not freedom. You can't own it. You can't have it. It's a dangerous but powerful concept. And freedom is really important. If we want to talk about values related to freedom, like liberty, right? Liberty, then you really have to think about how are we representing and valuing those things in our community, and where and what party is speaking in that context, and what party is doing policing, and what party is doing liberating. And I don't know that, and I'm gonna say, I love the energy coming from the Democratic Party right now, but the verdict is out of whether they'll be very liberatory. I'm excited about this, because certainly the face of the current Republican Party is absolutely to be one of control, one of limiting freedoms,
mm-hmm.
and touting that as freedom. But I'm not sure yet, like, that I can swing to say, like, the Democrats are the party of freedom.
I don't know that they are either, like you're saying, but it's the reclaiming and stepping up and contrasting what the Republicans have been doing was to really say, sorry, that's not freedom. That can't be freedom. And what the Democrats did this week was they gave examples of what real freedom could look like and what it should look like. Now, Johnny, you're right. It is up to them to see if they're going to do anything around the action. You say democracy in action, like you just did right there. Are the Democrats going to put into action all of the rhetoric around freedom? Mm-hmm. That's my question. Jess, what are you thinking?
So I was also noticing that, and something that really stood out to me was this reclamation of patriotism, of what it means to love your country. And that we saw example after example of people coming up to the stage and saying, I love my country because my country allows for people to exist in different ways to be together.
Mm-hmm.
This idea mm-hmm. that diversity is a natural part of being alive. And it's a beautiful thing. And that is America. That was just on full display with people saying, our family might not look the same as your family. And both mm-hmm. of our families are equally valid.
I love that.
And that's valuable.
Right? That should be a baseline. So let that be a contrast.
There it is. It's Busted Pencils. It's fully leaded education talk. It's TGIBPF. Thank God it's Busted Pencils Friday. It was Tim's trivia. First woman to run for president, Victoria Woodhull, 1872. Mary from Wauwatosa got that answer. You know what, though? We still got one more segment. You can call us. Best part of the DNC. Let's hear from you.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allball Show.
As a federally licensed broadcast company, this civic media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of civic media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
Grandpa's Barbecue Sauce. For decades, it's been a family secret. And if you weren't a blood relative, well, you never got a taste. Until now. Barbecue season is here. Get the rich, original Grandpa's Barbecue. It's a classic. Reliable. Just like Grandpa. Apparently, some family secrets are meant to be shared. Buy yours online at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Buster Pencil is fully lighted education talk, educated educators talking education. The number is 855-752-4842. It's Friday. Yeah, lots of reflection. Lots of, man, what was your favorite moment from the DNC this week? Lots of them. Again, pointing out some great moments, some fun, too. I thought Barack Obama's little, kind of talking about size. And for anybody who's on the Twitter, the YouTube, or the Facebook, you know, he did some hand gestures about size and reference to, and that's what I like, though, too, about is that there's that subtle touch of humor when Obama speaks sometimes, too. And I like that. It's genuine. It doesn't come across. He's a very gifted speaker.
Yeah, you know what, Tim, I like about Obama is even when I disagreed with his policies, I'd like the everyday ways that he's connecting his reason for why. He's always been very transparent about that, very clear. And when he speaks, he really shares that. Hey, speaking of Sherry from Horicon's on the phone. Just get Sherry on the horn. What's up, Sherry?
Well, hi, guys. How are you?
Great.
As always, I love the DNC. Oh man, Alex, I don't know what part I love the best. The roll call at the beginning, that was just like simply amazing. And I'll just on and on and on. The speakers, everybody, I liked it where they had the different people up in the front, the groups, and like a light would shine to the next group and to the next group. I don't know what they called that. But like a group of family would talk or mother and daughter would talk. Anyway, I thought that was really good. And I love Michelle's. Her speech was just amazing. Both of the Obamas, I just loved them all. And you know what I love best about the whole thing is the feeling that it made everybody leave with.
Yes.
I'm just walking around with a smile on my face like you wouldn't believe.
It feels good. It feels good. It does, Sherry. Thanks for the call. Oh, love it. And we love your support all the time, Sherry, too, especially starting every show. Sherry, Johnny, and Jess is always letting us know that she's there and listening. So appreciate that. But, yeah, I think that, too, that's worth just – there was a sense – there's a feeling, and maybe, yeah, the word is joy. They've been using this, but there's a sense of being for something, at least on this one, as opposed to, and even though it's an against fascism and craziness and weirdness, it's more about what we're for here, for freedom, for patriotism. And Jess, when you were talking about that with the patriotism, yeah, I've seen a couple people that I follow online, you know, who are very disenchanted Democrats and stuff, though, and very, very pointed, but saying, one guy's pointing out, I think I might put an American flag back out in my front yard again for the first time in years, right?
I feel like I had a pretty characteristic distancing from patriotism, looking, you know, at my early teen years going, ooh, boy, like there's a lot wrong here. I don't know if I feel right being proud to be an American. And all of a sudden I'm feeling that and going, we should get an American flag.
Yeah, Johnny.
Well, you got a lot more convincing to do to get this guy that far. I mean, and I consider myself a patriot, but I still think we're a country with a lot of recognizing some truth and reconciliation for our part in some of the conflict happening around the world. A lot of the poverty and injustice and the prison, you know, I'll call it crisis here in this country. So I don't want to detract against my excitement for Kamala and Walz. And I do truly, on a regular basis, make the decision to be in this country and to be patriotic about it. But to represent it to its fullest, I have optimism. Okay. I'll say I have optimism that hopefully my children's children will be in a country that they'll be proud to have a flag in. And I hope that that's where we get to. But me, it's going to take a lot. It's going to take a lot of truth and reconciliation work. But, you know, as we're moving,
whoa, oh my goodness.
You know what that means? It is a pack with our regulars. Every week here on Busted Pencils, just kind of like every day we do the Democracy in Action, every week we have a lesson, 20 lessons from the 20th century from Timothy Snyder's On Tyranny. And those lessons, wow, do they ring true? Especially, you know, Tim's talking about has the Democratic Party reinvigorated patriotism to mean more than just supporting Republicans, right? And I think we're there. I think we're getting there. Then just Tim and I are all talking about our excitement about it and how far we're willing to go to show different aspects of our patriotism. But I'll tell you what, this week's theme as we head into next week, right? Last week's was investigating. We sure all did, listening to the Democratic National Convention, talking about it, having conversations with our neighbors. But for next week, the theme I would like to connect to that, here it is. It's 15th lesson in the 20 lessons from the 20th century. Contribute to good causes.
Oh.
Be active in organizations, whether they're political or not. Of course, we're here talking about all kinds of political stuff. And I would hope, obviously, as we're talking about our excitement about Kamala Harris and Tim Walz, that maybe you yourself are feeling that energy and you can be active in the Democratic Party. They're organizing and they're getting out to vote and getting neighbors out to vote, because even when that vote might not be for them, it's still activating and contributing to a good cause. But this could be anything, political or not. Express your own view of life. Pick a charity or two, set it up, you know, reach out, give a dollar, give a couple dollars, give $5. Then you will be making the free choice to support a civil society, a democratic society, and you'll help others to do good. Doesn't have to be just about the election. It's about everyday things, right? So we're saying pick a cause and contribute, even if it's not money, something to it. That's tomorrow's and next week's theme. Pick a cause.
I love it. The first good thing I'm thinking, you know what? Good stuff. Contribute. Yeah. All next week you can contribute to Busted Pencils. If you're looking for an easy way, give us a call next week. 855-752-4842. That's just for next week. Yeah, we're on our way out of here tonight already. Johnny already. And Jess. Already, man. Already. It's Busted Pencils on a Friday. Everybody, have a great weekend. We'll see y'all on Monday.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
Crude and Dom.
Dom and Crude return on Monday after doing double duty at the DNC last week. They'll have a recap of the convention as well as analysis of all the events that happened over the weekend.
The Devil's Advocates, weekdays 4 till 6.
Looking for a roundup of the day's important headlines in quick podcast format? Search no more. Find it now on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com. Your news just for the Superior area. I'm James Kelly with WBZH News.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. This is the Buzz of the North.
WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.